Good evening. Happy day before Thanksgiving, or by the time you're watching this, maybe happy Thanksgiving, all you Hoops HD fans out there, and welcome to another edition of Under the Radar. I'm your host for Under the Radar, Chad Sherwood, and with us tonight, well, we had a little bit of an issue tonight, actually. In fact, if you were here last week, you heard that we were going to be sending David Griggs up to Alaska for the Great Alaska Shootout. We had the production crew up there. We had our camera crew, our sound people. I get a call about an hour ago. There's only one thing that's missing: David Griggs himself. David, where the hell are you?
Well, I don't know. Well, a couple of things have happened this week. As you know, on Sunday night we were audio only. I still don't think what I did would be considered obscene, but the network executives disagreed, so we were kicked off. All video, had to do audio only. Tonight I was able to come, we were able to come back, but my production crew went up to Alaska without, they forgot to wake me up after I had, well, they say I drink too much. I say they forgot to wake me up, Jed.
Well, you know, David,
I didn't make it up to
we
Alaska.
We broke over the expense account this year. We sent the entire team up there. We're excited. We got this 2 a.m. game between Missouri State and Colorado State. It was we thought we were going to get pregame interviews. We have live guests on the show, and instead we've got a picture of you.
Well,
very disappointing for our fans out there. We do need to apologize
but hey,
to all of them.
Well,
for
you
this.
Do have a picture of me. Let's not.
Anyhow, David, I guess since we do at least have you on calling in here, let's hit it, let's get right into the under the radar things. And there was a couple of teams I know we definitely want to discuss. One of our top teams from last week, a top team so far this season, has been Northeastern. Didn't look that good today, though.
Not at all. I mean, in fact, a really disappointing showing. And perhaps part of it is UMass is good. I'm not saying that they're not and that they didn't deserve to win. I don't believe UMass has lost yet. And although they don't have a lot of great wins, they have a lot of decent and notable wins. So it could be, again, they're one of those teams that didn't get a whole lot of acclaim coming into the year but could end up having a big year. But Northeastern just did not play well at all. And this is after watching them play at Florida State and looking so good. And Florida State's been hugely disappointing. So between how bad they looked today against UMass and how bad Florida State's looked, perhaps Northeastern isn't as good as we thought.
Well, yeah, it was a disappointing loss. UMass did lose that game to Notre Dame in the Hall of Fame tip-off.
Yeah,
there.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I forgot about that, yeah.
But yeah, they that was a little disappointing performance. I didn't know that I expected Northeastern to win the game, but just to not even be competitive was a disappointment there. Couple other things that we wanted to discuss before we get into our top 10 list is, in fact, there's a game going on right now as we're recording this at the Gulf Coast Showcase. This is a non-televised tournament, an 8-team tournament, but had some of our key teams here with Evansville, Green Bay, and Florida Gulf Coast. Evansville looked pretty good. Did fall to Green Bay last night, though, in the semifinals. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say I was impressed with them. This was a team that you identified somehow, even though they were awful last year. And they went out there against a tournament-caliber Green Bay team, or who we think is a tournament-caliber Green Bay team, and looked really good. They lost, but they were pretty competitive in that game.
And they completely destroyed San Francisco tonight in the third place game. San Francisco, maybe the fourth or fifth best team in the West Coast Conference, but the West Coast Conference, I think, is going to be pretty competitive this year, top to bottom. I think everybody in the conference has looked good so far. They all have at least a .500 or better record, with Portland, St. Mary's, and Gonzaga all undefeated heading into today's games. In fact,
right.
And maybe we'll throw that out there, that this St. Mary's team went out the other night and beat Denver, then turned around and beat UC Irvine also, one of our top picks in the Big West. I've been really impressed with St. Mary's so far.
I have, and it's kind of deja vu. You might recall mid to late October, all the way through late October, we were really impressed with them last year as well, and they had done the same sort of thing. They hadn't beaten any highly ranked teams, but I think they had beaten Louisiana Tech, who we really liked. They beat, was it North Dakota State as well that we really liked.
Yes.
And they won games like that early, and they looked really good. And this year, it's the same thing. You know, beat New Mexico State, who we like to win the WAC, probably not an at-large caliber team, but they beat them pretty handily. And here they are again with no great wins, but a lot of pretty good ones.
And I do want to throw a knock out there against St. Mary's. I was taking a look at their schedule here. They have non-conference only scheduled 2 road games all season.
And that's going to hurt.
At St. John's. And
yeah.
Now, they do have some quality home games, the ones they've already won. They're going to have Boise State coming in. They're going to have Northeastern, who we just spoke about, coming in as well. So they're not going to have – they're going to have a pretty strong RPI, I bet, because they don't really have any what we call RPI poison. They have a bad game against Morgan State, maybe a couple bad games in conference against the bottom of the West Coast Conference. But other than that, they're going to be playing teams in that – 75 to 150 range all season, and this might be a team that's sitting there with 8 or 9 losses, 10 losses, but an RPI in the 40s at the end of the season.
Right, but one of the things, and we saw this, I think it was more blatant last year than any other year, is you have to win away from home, and only 2 road games. I don't know, they're not giving themselves enough chances to impress the committee. Their numbers will look good, as you said, because they've played the RPI game, if you want to call it that. But you need to win a little. I mean, you need to beat somebody away from home, and if you only play 2 out of conference games away from home, you're kind of taking a pass on making a strong case for yourself outside of conference.
I agree. They have 4 road games all season that they coined that could open eyes at Creighton, at St. John's, I just mentioned. And then the 2 big road games in conference at Gonzaga and at BYU.
Right. And if they get 1 or 2 of those, I mean, those would be huge wins. But, you know, San Diego's good at home. I mean, they're not going to get a lot of credit for that, but they'll get some. Like, some of those West Coast teams are pretty tough to beat at home.
Yeah, but I'm just really, you know, with this I think that St. Mary's is going to have to win at least 1 of those 4 and pick up the wins they should on the road in conference, the Pepperdines, Pacific, Loyola Marymount, Santa Clara, those games.
Yeah.
Or they could be in trouble if they need they should need an at-large bid. I can't see them winning the West Coast Conference Tournament.
Right, I can't either.
David, another team that's been hugely disappointing so far for us, I think, has been Stephen F. Austin. They failed again to get that notable win this
week
at Baylor.
And is it easy to win at Baylor? No, it's not. But is it easy to make the NCAA tournament as an at-large? No, it's not. That is, you know, they had 3 chances. Northern Iowa, who I think we really do like, but they went to Xavier, weren't competitive, really, shot the ball really poorly despite getting a lot of open looks. And then it was kind of the same case at Baylor. And, again, they didn't give themselves many chances. They have 1 more at Memphis. But even if they get that win at Memphis, how good is Memphis, really? How much credit are they going to get for that? And they have been disappointing. I didn't expect them to win them all, but I thought they would have won at least 2 of those 3. Now, at the same time, it could be Xavier is a little bit better than what we thought. But it's still, for SFA to go in there and to go in the Baylor and not even be in the game in the later part of the second half was disappointing. I agree.
Yeah. I think Xavier is a good team this year. I think Xavier is an NCAA tournament team. I don't think Baylor is a tournament team.
No.
I mean, that's really the game that I figured. If they pick up that win and they don't mess up at all during the conference, and then something crazy happens, they lose to the Southland Finals, maybe they're on the board. But now without those wins, there's going to be nothing on their resume. They could win out and have nothing on their resume of any meat at this point.
And you're looking at it, and this was a team that last year played 18 games. This is incredible, 18 games outside the RPI top 250. And a lot of that is just the circumstance of the conference they're in, but that is some impressively horrendous scheduling. And, again, all they really proved until the NCAA tournament, where they did beat VCU, was that they could beat top 250 teams.
Well, right now, they're scheduled to probably have more than that based on the remainder of their schedule. They're playing 3 non-D1 games during the season, which is inexcusable for any team that wants to be in the at-large bid conversation.
It really is.
Lee Delvecchio and I got in an email argument about this issue a little bit earlier today. I don't have a problem with a team that has no shot in at-large bid scheduling the non-D1s because it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't really matter, but this is a team that did. And I mean, say they would have play anybody, and you look at all of the decent teams and the under-the-radar teams that we like that couldn't get good games. There were three of them that they – I mean, that was three opportunities to play somebody else good. And you can't – I mean, you want to give yourself as many chances as you can to impress the committee.
Moving on, David, I know we've got a couple other topics we want to hit before our top 10 lists. I want to – this couple other things I want to discuss, and I think we'd be very remiss here if we did not spend a few minutes discussing the Eastern Washington Eagles. How about that game the other night? Your thoughts?
I was really impressed with Eastern Washington, and this is an Indiana team that we didn't think was good and we still don't think is good, but maybe was a little bit better than we thought after they beat SMU at home. Eastern Washington, it shouldn't be that surprising that a weak Indiana team lost at home to a good Big Sky team, which Eastern Washington definitely is. They shot the ball really well.
They were a preseason pick here in the Big Sky, in fact, so they are a good team.
Yeah, was I honestly, like, if I were to pick a winner before the game, I would have picked Indiana. Was it a big shock that they didn't beat what it really is a pretty good Eastern Washington team? No, because Indiana's not good themselves, but at least not by their own standards and not by power conference standards. I wasn't overly surprised by it. I mean, it wasn't what I would have guessed to have happened, but I think I did say, even in the write-up, it wouldn't be surprising if Eastern Washington went in there and won, and they did. What are your thoughts on it? I just thought this huge reaction, oh my God, look at this massive upset. It wasn't a massive upset at all.
I think we'd have to go back to the tape and check, but I think that this is one of the games I targeted last week when we were on the under the radar to talk about games that I'm looking forward to this week that could be something crazy. I'm not surprised at all. I'm surprised, I guess, in the way that they really just came out and they played well. They got the win, but I wouldn't have been shocked if Indiana had won it. But I expected a close game no matter what. I really thought that they would be right there with it. So again, if you're looking for those games that are going to be close in the upcoming week, make sure you listen to what games we're going to be previewing at the end of this podcast.
Very much so.
Such as the Omaha Marquette game that you laughed at me for last week, David.
I did, because I couldn't believe that you would look at Marquette as being notable.
We're going to go with that. That's the reason.
We're going to go with that. Okay. This Omaha is a transitional team. I want to give, and we do this occasionally, I do want to give a shout-out to them. I know Marquette isn't very good, but for a transitional team, I think that they've weathered this, with the exception of North Dakota State, better than any transitional team has ever done it, probably in the last 20 years. They have done a tremendous job going through what is a very, very, very difficult process, and they've done it well. Grand Canyon's another one that's doing very well, but how about Omaha? I mean, they're not a bad team. And when you – I mean, they're going to be competitive right away once they get through that year. And this is year three for them, right?
This is year four for them.
This is year four.
Eligible next year, yes.
Yeah. Now, are they retained in – again, what do they have coming back? You almost wish they could have redshirted all the seniors so they could have, you know, been ready to go next year when it means something. But good win for them. I'm glad they got that. You don't get many opportunities to feel very good about very many things when you're a transitional program. So really nice win for Omaha.
They do have – they really only have two seniors on the roster, probably their top two players. But they do have a lot of that team that will be back next season. I speak about transitional teams just very briefly. The rules changed a few years ago that you now have to be, in order to transition up to D1, you have to actually be accepted into a conference before you can even move up.
Yeah.
Which is why that we have not seen, there actually was a four-year moratorium on anybody moving up there, and then they put these new rules in place. And we really haven't seen a ton of teams jumping up, maybe not the rate that we were seeing before this. But I've noticed with Omaha, with Northern Kentucky, who has been fairly competitive, with Grand Canyon, who's looked really good. Even Incarnate Word had a winning record against Southland Conference play last season in their first transitional year.
Which is incredible.
I think that what you're seeing is a lot more of a commitment, a lot more of an investment by these teams before they just decide to willy-nilly go ahead and move up, because they have to do the extra work, get a conference affiliation, prove to not only the NCAA but to a conference that this is going to be a worthwhile program that you want in your conference. And I think that we're going to see there's a lot worse teams out there than these transitional teams right now.
Oh, yeah, there are.
A lot worse teams.
Yeah.
And I think at this point I want to give, on that note, give a little shout-out to this our favorite conference, the Southwestern Athletic Conference. David, just a little fact here. As of right now, the SWAC has 2 Division I wins on the entire season. The entire conference, 2 D1 wins. So good job, SWAC, again.
And hopefully, I mean, they're hoping to double that by the start of conference play. Maybe even more than double it.
It might be tough. They have a handful of non-D1 wins, but the only D1 wins Jackson State won at Jacksonville, and this Jacksonville team is a pretty bad team this season. And
the coach is missing his old Fort Wayne team.
Yeah, absolutely. The coach left Fort Wayne, went to Jacksonville, played at Fort Wayne, and got absolutely pounded this week.
Yeah.
At Pine Bluff, who is probably the best team in the conference that's actually postseason eligible, beat Cal State Bakersfield out during the out in Hawaii as the most notable win of the conference all season.
Right.
That's pretty sad. One other conference I do want to quickly discuss, the Mid-American Conference. Toledo has not been the team we thought they were going to be, David.
They have not been. Another really disappointing team.
Go ahead.
Well, again, and to see them come out and play so hard against VCU, and we're really in a position to win that game for a lot of the game, and then you're like, well, okay, here we go. Go out to Oregon, and again, it's not easy to win in Oregon, but I thought Toledo was good enough to do it, and they just let it get away from them. But, yeah, I mean, they are, I believe they're 2-3 on the year.
Yeah, they followed up last night with a loss at I believe it was on the road. No, it was a home loss to Detroit,
yeah.
And that loss is going to could end up being the one that kills them if they need an at-large bid. That's
right.
I don't know what to make of them now.
Yeah, to lose that game at home, and again, it's not to insult Detroit. You have to understand when we talk about at-large caliber teams, that is the threshold. Like, you are better than the teams that don't make the tournament, and you're supposed to beat them, and you're supposed to beat them on the road 80% of the time or more. I mean, if you look at the teams that make the field as opposed to the ones that don't, look at their record against the teams that don't make it. They win almost all of them, like 85, 90% of them most of the time. Detroit is not making the field, and Detroit, unless they win their conference tournament, and Detroit beat you at home, that Oregon's not making the field, most likely. Those are two losses that indicate that perhaps you're not an at-large caliber team.
Right. I mean, at this point, Akron might be the best team in the MAC, and even they have not been overly impressive. They've already got a couple losses.
Yeah.
Eastern Michigan's out to a 6-0 start, but I think half of them are against non-D1 teams.
Yeah, they are. And again, Eastern Michigan, it's not easy to win there, but again, it's not easy to make the field. There's only 60. I mean, there's only, if you're not in the top 45 out of 350 teams, you're probably not safely inside the bubble.
Well, with that, David, I think we want to move right along here to our top 10 list. And I'm going to run down my top 10 here. Take your comments on it. It's modified several times already today as some of these results have been coming in. Right now, my new number one after BYU had a rough loss today against Purdue, a loss they really couldn't afford.
Yeah.
My new number one is Harvard. They had been my number one to begin with, but they are my number one again. They did look really good the other day. I just slipped my mind who they beat. Give me half a second.
Houston. And this was a Houston team that came in with a big win already. Now, this isn't a Houston team we were all that excited about, but they were a team that had looked good so far this year, and Harvard absolutely trashed them all the way up and down the court.
And just so we let you know here, the next two games for Harvard, they have UMass at home this weekend and Northeastern at home. So we're going to really get to know Harvard wins both those games.
Yeah.
They might be off of our under the radar top 10 because they'll be back in the top 25.
Right.
My number two team is a team that I did not like that much heading into the season. You did, this Northern Iowa team.
Yeah, I really like this team. They haven't lost yet, and I know one of their more impressive wins, at least I thought, was against SFA, who earlier we talked about, you know, how disappointed we've been in them. But, you know, they won that game. They went down to Cancun. They rampaged Virginia Tech. They've got a 5-0 Northeastern or Northwestern team tonight. Yeah, and that game is actually about to tip off here in a little bit. But I look for them to win that one as well. Northwestern is untested. I just really like this Northern Iowa team. Richmond is their next game, and it is a home game. But Richmond was looking pretty good, although they fell to NC State tonight. So, again, if you're looking at Northern Iowa's schedule, they go to VCU. That's going to be a really good game. They have Iowa at home. Or is that Iowa? I don't know. They moved that off campus, didn't they? They're playing it as a doubleheader. So it would be Iowa State Drake and Northern Iowa Iowa, and I believe they do
Des Moines. That's off campus. It's a neutral court game, technically.
Okay, yeah, but I look for them to win that one, and they could go in the conference play with as few as one or maybe even no losses.
I don't think they win at VCU. That might.
Yeah,
be
I don't think they win that one either. But that's going to be a fun game. I mean, you want to talk about two different contrasting styles? Like one loves to run the half court systematic offense, and then to put that up against Havoc, that is destination television on the 13th there.
Yeah, that should be a really good game. And just to mention this Northwestern game tonight, yeah, Northwestern's undefeated, but they beat North Florida by 2 points at home.
Yeah.
Elon in overtime at home. They are a miraculous undefeated, and I think Northern Iowa should cruise tonight also. But
yeah, I mean, I think they're just going to paste them.
Number three on my list, David, is a team that right now is at halftime is up by 6 points at Florida Gulf Coast in the championship game of the Gulf Coast Showcase. Of course, that's Green Bay.
Yeah.
I like the way this team has bounced back after the loss. I think they're really playing a lot better now. And I just looking ahead at their schedule here, they did lose the game to Wisconsin. They didn't look very good. They have Georgia State coming up. They have Miami coming up.
And that's a huge game. They're going down to Miami. I mean, that's a chance to – you know, that's a chance for us to see how good they really are. And if they get that one, are we talking about inside the bubble finishing, if they can get that one at Miami?
The biggest problem they have is other than the two games with Georgia State – and the game at Miami, there's nothing much more on their schedule here for the rest of the season. Detroit, who had that big win over Toledo, I think maybe better than we expected, and maybe, you know, they maybe a chance to pick up some credit there for a couple conference wins. But I don't know that they have the schedule to be inside the bubble ever this season, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, especially unless they went out or do something crazy, but I mean, yeah, you're probably right. And their schedule, they didn't schedule as hard as they needed to because I think they knew they were going to be good. They had the game at Wisconsin, just got absolutely flattened. But, I mean, yeah, it's just kind of disappointing. And real offensive display going on in down in Fort Myers right now, 26-20 at the half.
Well, they're winning, and that's what's going to matter in the end. Right.
Right.
Number four on my list is BYU. They did fall with that loss to Purdue today. I still like this BYU team. It's tough playing three games in 3 days, and this game going overtime, and their first game went double overtime against San Diego State, if I remember. So they've played a lot of basketball. They played a lot of basketball in 3 days. They did look really good against the San Diego State team. They plastered Chaminade yesterday, which we discussed. One of the penalties of losing in that quarterfinal round is you don't get that second good game, that two or three good games because Chaminade's in there.
Right. And BYU probably needed it more. I still think BYU could end up inside the bubble, but they really needed that one more than San Diego State did. And not under the radar at all, but how about San Diego State? I mean, as far as merit goes, they've probably played and beaten the toughest team so far. So, you know.
Yeah, San Diego State's looked really good so far.
Yeah.
Let's move on down the list. Number five, I have a team that's in here more on faith than on performance. I do still have this Louisiana Tech team in my list.
I still like this team as well. They've been looking better. Now, again, they've been blasting teams, but that's the thing. It's not that beating American and Presby is impressive. It's that they beat them the way a tournament team should beat them. I mean, they beat them badly. Right. So it's good to see that. And, you know, a huge turnaround from really struggling in their opener against Southern, which, I mean, just looked so lethargic, and then blowing – what appeared to be a commanding lead at Temple and ended up losing that one. And with this team, this is a good team. They got to win out to that Syracuse game, and they might even need to win that Syracuse game to really feel safe. They're going to have other chances. They go to UTEP. They go to Southern. They do go to a couple of snake pits. But I agree with them at number five. I think that they are as good and will be as good as we thought they would be.
David, at number six, I have the Iona Gales here. They thoroughly plastered Delaware State tonight. Now, you should do that to Delaware State, but they did. They won at Wake Forest. They won at North Texas. Despite that Wofford loss during the that they played that game at, 7 o'clock in the morning.
It was nip and tuck back and forth for about 30 minutes, and then Wofford just opened it up. And it's not easy to win at Wofford. Again, huge, huge test coming up this weekend for them. They go to Arkansas. So we'll see. I mean, if they get that one, I mean, they are in great shape.
They are. They've got a couple more chances, too. They're at UMass. They play Gulf Coast at home. Well, that's pretty much it for their other chances. But because one of the reasons is the Metro Atlantic has this 20-game full double round robin with 11 teams in the conference, which means you have less chances to schedule.
Right. You can only get 9 out of conference games, which they were in an exempt tournament. But, it really hurts a team like Iona that's probably capable of getting inside the bubble but needs the chances, and they just have fewer chances.
Number seven, I have this is another team that fell after the way they played tonight, but I do still have Northeastern on my list.
Yeah.
I mean, they have looked really good. We discussed them a little bit earlier. Number eight's a new team on my list this week. I mentioned this team also is Akron. I mean, Akron does have wins over USC and South Carolina already, both neutral court wins. Their losses were at Penn State and against Miami, who's a top 25 team.
Right. Penn State, I mean, they were right in there. I was actually kind of disappointed that they didn't get that one. I know it was a true road game. Technically, it was part of the Charleston Classic, but it was a true road game to get that fourth game in. That's one that I was expecting them to get. And Miami, oh, my God. I was actually more impressed with Miami after that game than I was disappointed with Akron. This is a pretty good Miami team. I think that's forgivable. But they need to, I mean, you know, they really cannot slip up, really, for the rest of the year.
That's a good way to put it.
And I don't know, Frank Martin was angry after that. Wow, he was angry.
David, at number nine, I have a team that might drop off, depends on what happens tonight. I do have the other half of this game we're watching right now, Florida Gulf Coast. They are undefeated. They played really well against that Ohio team. They also beat UC Santa Barbara. They're getting back into this game against Green Bay. They're only down 6 at the moment.
Yeah.
And they have a couple of they have several tests coming up left on their schedule.
Yeah, and this is another good team. They're not having their best game tonight, which is kind of unfortunate because they need to. But I mean, it isn't. It's more of an eye test thing than a paper thing. They beat Santa Barbara, who we think is good. They beat what's really a good Ohio team, and I believe they're the only team that's done it. You know, pasted Marist, pasted San Francisco, who was unbeaten at the time. So it's more of an eye test thing. Now they have some actual tests coming up. They have UMass at I believe that's either on campus or in Boston.
I think that's in Boston.
In Boston. Okay. And then they go to Iona, who we just talked about, and who might not lose a home game. They go to Xavier, who's currently undefeated, and they go to Pitt, who, well, okay, maybe that's not a challenge.
They go to Santa Barbara.
Yeah. So this is a team that's given itself some chances, and if they can, if they can come back and win the night, this is a pretty pivotal game, and they can get one or two of those that we just mentioned. I don't think this team will lose more than one conference game. They are so much better than the rest of their league that I just don't think they'll lose more than one, which means they'll have home court advantage throughout the conference tournament, and they'll be playing one of the worst teams in the country in the quarters, so they really only got to win two games. They're going to be in good shape regardless, but again, as you and I always talk about, you want to know going into the conference tournament that you're in no matter what happens. And if they win a couple of these coming up, they may be in that situation.
Right. I think that, you know, that if they can keep winning, obviously they'll have nothing to worry about. They're going to need a couple of wins here, especially away from home. They have not left their home area, at least. They're not technically their home court for the Gulf Coast Showcase. What are they, about 10 minutes away from their home court?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Number 10, I met a team we discussed earlier. I had them as an honorable mention last week, and then they went out and they go and win at Indiana. I can't leave Eastern Washington off my list after they do that.
And they should be on your list. This is a team that shoots the ball really well. I mean, I'd seen them play a little bit last year, but since they weren't a conference front runner, I don't think we watched them as closely. But
right.
Man, this team can really shoot the ball. And their only loss was really, the game at SMU, which is forgivable. It is kind of a snake pit, although SMU's been disappointing this year. But, man, I mean, I really enjoyed watching that game. This is a Road Warrior team. They're going, if you look, what is that, five of their next six are on the road or something like that.
They got Northern Kentucky at home tonight.
Yeah.
They then have a game against a non-D1 team, Eastern Oregon. Then they have five straight road games, including at Washington and at Cal.
Right.
And that's pretty, one more non-D1 team, and then they go into the conference schedule, where this conference will be pretty interesting this year. I think Weber State does still have a good team. I still like this Portland State team a little bit also to be competitive, and even Northern Arizona to be competitive. And yeah. I'm not even mentioning Montana, who has been one of the top teams in the league for the last several years.
Kings of the Mountain, so to speak. So, yeah, good top 10. I mean, other teams that have kind of fallen off that either one or both of us liked, Toledo, who we already talked about, UC Irvine, who's been kind of disappointing, SFA, real disappointing there. Some of those other under-the-radar teams.
I have a couple. I threw them on there. These are honorable mentions. I have three of them. Two Patriot League teams, Army and Holy Cross. Still keep an eye on both of them. Holy Cross, that huge win over Harvard. Army is undefeated. And I couldn't help but give an honorable mention out to one of the teams I think has played like one of the best mid-majors of the entire country so far, Larry Brown's SMU Mustangs.
Yes, very good honorable mention for them. They're looking like SMU again.
Yes. I guess technically they shouldn't have been here, but I think they definitely belong on the on a mid-major list, because that is exactly how they've played so far.
Right. Three years ago we would have been talking about Butler.
we're not talking about Butler, that great win over North Carolina. I mean, Miami rode one of these exempt tournament championships into the top 25.
Yeah.
But Butler, if they pick up another win in this tournament, may do the same exact thing.
Yeah, and they probably will. So,
I just want to quickly go over a couple games coming up in the next week. I know we're almost out of time here. Coming up tomorrow, not much in terms of the under the radar. Going into Friday, I'm interested in that Holy Cross game. The Holy Cross team, they are playing at Syracuse. That's a very tall order for them. But
yeah, it is. But it's Yeah,
but
it's a weaker Syracuse team. I mean, this isn't the Syracuse team we're used to seeing. So, I mean, it might be I mean, they might make them sweat a little bit.
Another pair of games not being televised for some reason, but on Saturday, the Big Four Basketball Classic in Buffalo, Niagara versus St. Bonaventure's, Buffalo versus Canisius. I'm really disappointed these games are not going to be on TV or even streamed anywhere.
They're not being streamed?
They're not even being streamed.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
It really is ridiculous. I think that would be an exciting doubleheader. Well, I'm disappointed I'm not going to watch it.
I might have to get to Buffalo. I mean, things probably won't go wrong again. I might have to get myself to Buffalo for that. That's this Saturday, right?
That is Saturday.
Okay.
A couple quick other games of note here coming up. Sunday, we mentioned the Iona at Arkansas game. We also have a Hartford at Yale game, a little bit interesting there.
Yeah, one of the teams we really like out of the America East taking on. I like this Yale team. I don't like them as much as Harvard, but I do like them. And because there's a big gap between them and the rest of the conference, they're going to be able to keep pace with Harvard, and they get Harvard once at home. So they are a team to watch.
And then Harvard again on Wednesday is hosting Northeastern.
Yeah.
One other. Sorry, that was Wednesday. We've also got coming up on Tuesday, Georgia on the road at Chattanooga. That's an interesting road game there.
That really is, and I don't know what the circumstances were of scheduling that. Georgia has not. They got a big one tonight against, I believe, Gonzaga. But they have. I mean, since losing to their opener to Georgia Tech, they've looked pretty good. So that's a good home game for Chattanooga against what is a seemingly decent, possible NIT-caliber Georgia team.
Obviously, there's a lot of other games. We're just about out of time here. Just want to throw one game out. This is next Thursday, actually. We should be on again before then. But, David, we're always looking for places to send you. We had all these trouble here with getting you to Alaska. Next Thursday, do you think you can make it to Atlanta, Georgia?
Sure. Why wouldn't I be able to make it there?
We have coming up next Thursday, Green Bay at Georgia State. I think that should be a really good game, a really interesting game. So, folks in Atlanta, look for David Griggs. He's going to be coming to the game. You are allowed in Georgia State games, are you not?
Well, why wouldn't I be?
Okay. Hopefully, we'll have you stream live from the game next. From the game or previewing the game next week. Any final thoughts here, David?
I just hope everyone has a safe and happy Thanksgiving. We all know what Thanksgiving is about, and it's about college basketball. One of the greatest weeks of the year. I mean, I think there's more intriguing games this week, partially because there's so many question marks and uncertainties. And it's a huge week for under-the-radar teams, because if you're in these tournaments and you're playing these games, it's a chance to sort of emerge as a national program, or if not as a national program, at least put some good things on your profile. So, great week of college basketball. Probably the best of the year, or at least, again, this is when we're learning the most, I think. And just the other bit of news, we normally do our brackets midweek, or we have been this season. Because there is so much between just in the next 48 hours, we should have that up Sunday or Monday.
Yeah, we'll have that up. So look for that on the website. Look at the conference tournament information tab on the website. Has been filled out. Everything you want to know about conference tournaments. If you start going to tournament withdrawal after this week, realizing that we're no longer be bracketing games, that'll be our next bracketed group of bracketed games, so look for those. Other than that, again, as David said, have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody, and we'll talk to you again real soon.